We have a very intelligent people in the United States, and Lutherans are above the center. They're not below the center or at the center. Lutherans are above the center, I think, basically because from Luther on, Lutherans have been interested in education, and the more the better. So we've got a good tradition behind us. So consequently, when you are turning out a quality product, you're going to have people coming to your door. And so I think the way you solve economics is by having a crackerjack good school, which is hard to get into because there are so many people that want to get in. And once again, you start out with faculty. Faculty are going to demand, require facilities, and I think this is the order in which you got to run. This is the way University of Chicago was started.
Well, you in Missouri have a break that the rest of us don't have, that your vast majority of your institutional investment is junior college. Mm-hmm. And so you have really two higher institutions, the one you're at in Valpo.
Valpo is church related.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just have us in St. Louis Seminary.
Yeah.
And Valpo, you know, gets a pittance every now and then.
But this, I think, is a solution. I mean, I was with all the LCA colleges here a while back, because we're under LCA to that extent, met with them, all their fundraisers and promoters, you know. And not one of those schools has been able to really make any large foundation talk yet, and they had some of the large foundation men there who pointed out that really there's only one Lutheran school so far that has, and that's St. Louis, because you've got to build up a kind of an image to do it, you see? And this is really what Howie Palm, you might say, personifies there. He's the guy who went after that for money. But you have to have a kind of an educator, I think, that fights for the school. And then you've got to make room for that kind of an educator to have the freedom that will let him stay.
There is one thing that's been going on at Austin that I think would be easier to do in the small school, and this is the work between the departments. You know, some of those cross-departments in
line.
It would be easier to do in a small college than in a university where things are sort of isolated. Now, whether this should be a church college or not, that's one thing that small schools can do.
Yeah, well, the question is, you know, whether Augustana really could be considered. It's supported. It's a little more than 6%, but not much, 100,000 or so, 20,000 a year. And that's a pittance on the budget. But I don't think that most in the religion department now, it is at least their goal, and I think to a great extent they've realized it, that any course called Old Testament or New Testament or church history taught there would be taught exactly in the same way, using the same text and the same approach at a university in a religion course.
You can't prove by the setup on this going on. It's interesting. Earl, you know.
Yeah.
And here you have the only one I know of. They've really taken Holly's book on integration.
Yeah, but no, very few Lutheran colleges.
The Lutheran faculty haven't read it. The same old faculty still hasn't read his book. They had a committee.
Well, they sure attacked it enough.
But they still haven't read it.
Well, that's why they attack it. But they really, he was really him. Everybody assumed that he wanted to take over the school, you see, and that book was insidious to that extent. And I was there when that book came out.
But really, now Trueblood took that and applied it. And Durland is exciting from that point of view. I mean, it's one Christian school which is certainly using scholarship that St. for John is there, Williams, and we decided a little bit too legalistic for a Luther to take, you know. The Erlen, but that same year, Williams and Erlen were the two teams on the college board that kind of got kicked off after five times on.
Erlen is a good example, I think, of what a Christian liberal arts college can be,
yeah.
Which our colleges are not.
They're not trying to be, really.
No.
You read it. You get a hold of its bulletin and read it, and just see how, if that had been our bulletins, how much easier life would have gone in ALC. I mean, this is in tune with what the parish, too, is committed to do. And that is, it's an extension of the parish in higher education.
I think one advantage, ideal advantage, but this I think, as you pointed out, Carol, is not happening. One ideal advantage of putting these two, putting Athens and putting Jerusalem together, is a kind of dynamic that issues in creativity that really, I suppose, responsible for the greatness of of much of our Western culture, but it is not happening at places other than Burlington.
What I take as a symbol for this, so if you're listening here, is Chicago, for instance. Why should that be produced by a Russian under a communist regime? A Church College graduate should have written that novel, you know. But this is what doesn't happen, because we get this sort of intimidation and kind of defensiveness, and then we're not free to be creative in the great tradition of the Western culture.
Tell more about Earl.
Earl is a Quaker school in Indiana.
Yeah, but what is this plan?
Well, Christ.
Do you have the book in the library? I thought I saw it.
We may have, yeah. We may have it in the library.
I think all you need to do is read that book that Hong and Dibinson and several other professors editors. What's it called? Christianity and Liberal Arts?
Yeah, something like
that. In which it outlines a whole plan of course study, including core curriculum and so forth, which fell like a bomb in the Lutheran colleges, but which Earl taken up and really used it.
True, but there's one other college. Besides this, I didn't ask them which one that has tried to do the same thing. And it's a commitment to Jesus Christ, as Lord, who is the truth. And if he is the truth, then okay, you don't have to be defensive at any point. You're open. And the discussion is vital and real, and then you're on. And the students are turned on.
Yeah. We still have required chapel twice a week. It's once a week now. It's convocation at a time. But the president took we had a hanging with a cross and an altar for the chapel that we have, although we have it in the auditorium, and that is now taken down because it would be offensive to some, you know, to speak about intimidation.
Taking a cross.
So we have a very innocuous kind of chapel. You know, we talk about the good life. Okay.
Well, is it true even at St. Olaf, which Holly blames himself for a part? You know that the proclamation doesn't happen. Everybody has to be a little long and philosophize during chapel. I know Edna, his wife, said when the seminary finally came on WCL, such a relief to hear proclamation again. And this is the defensiveness of a Christian college not having proclamation.
Yeah. Who conducts chapel?
Everybody.
Everybody in the
after the last hymn.
This is really Herb's session, and Herb and I have been working on this little thing called Mary Had a Little Lamb, which is not the final title, but it may end up being the title. We had a bull session, brainstorming session with the teenagers from Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and I just have a whole package of their statements about the school system and their reactions to it, now in black and white now. When we talked about what teenagers thought they would like to laugh at in the society, the place where they were most at home and they really could find things to laugh at and to satirize and the like, was in the school system. And that's where they really went to town. A very bright bunch of kids. And so after talking with them for quite a while, we decided we'd focus on that as the thing which we will do and write and produce and make 3 weeks from now. And the structure that we came up with was a structure that's tied to the nursery rhymes, inasmuch as teenagers have to have something that they can look back at to laugh at, and nursery rhymes are something that's in their past and they can use them. This, we thought, would be a useful vehicle, also sort of funny and cute, and you can be imaginative as you like, and you can just let yourself go. So we set up a structure sort of like this, and it's still not finalized, but this is basically the picture. That there's a school called Snow White High, and it's down in the land of Eden 2. Now, Walden 2, of course, is this utopia that's set up. We call it Eden 2 because that'll give it a special flavor. And in Eden 2, everybody is happy, supposedly, and things are the way they should be in this new age, in this new day, in Eden number 2. And up there in the sky, Old King Cole sits with all of his... with his three fiddlers, who are in charge of things, his leaders, Old King Cole and his three fiddlers, and the watchers. The watchers are all of those people who watch from the sky to make sure that everything is going down right. They're in Eden too, checking up, peering, checking, seeing that it's all going in the beautiful, blissful way that it ought to go. And So Old King Cole has the opening oration and sort of sets the stage, and we'll read that in a moment, and you get a picture of where he is, and if it's not clear enough, we'll expand that oration. And all of the nursery rhymes come in as each one of these figures appears on the stage. And we add extra verses that fit the story. And then the fiddlers report to the king, Old King Cole, that they have just heard a rumor from the earth, that a rumor that was delivered by someone called Simple Simon. We have a couple more people. Now, Simple Simon apparently met a pieman who was bringing the pie back to the sky for the great world of peace, you see. The great world day of peace, which they were going to celebrate, which is coming up next morning. And there's a rumor, to the effect that somebody did something wrong in Eden 2. Namely, that Mary brought her lamb to school, which is against the rule. And there's the crux of the whole matter. That's the central problem for the whole story. What are they going to do about this question, that Mary should dare to bring her lamb to school? Well, the first thing that the fiddlers three suggest to Old King Cole is that they should send the mouse down, the clock mouse from Hickory Dickory Dock, to go down at 1 o'clock and check out and see whether or not it's true. And he investigates the scene and comes back to the Council of the Skies, where Old King Cole sits, and gives the report. And Herb has finished writing that mouse's report and all the little things he finds in people's purses and whatnot. And finally, they decide that the only way that this can be solved is by summoning all the people from Snow White High. Children, teenagers, they're all young people, because everybody's really sort of young, almost anyway, everybody in Eden 2. And they have their reports, and the three fiddlers have speeches along the way. Fiddler 1 is Big Boy Blue. Fiddler 2 is Dumpty Dumpty, who sits on the wall of the sky and looks down at everything. And Grandfather Time is the third fiddler. We might change him, but that's the way it is now. And finally, they push Humpty Dumpty off the wall. There's a sort of an uprising. And Mary, who has been just sitting there all the time and hasn't said anything, she's been sitting there all the time. She is never has a speech. She's suddenly missing. And she comes back at the end then with the lamb dead. And all of the children circle around her and sing, Baba Black Sheep. That's essentially the story. And you'll see those characters in the middle. The crooked man, he's the principal. Jackie Nimble is the little girl who is a sports fanatic and so on, cheerleader. Little Jack Horner is the good boy. I guess he probably is the one that you decided would snitch on Mary.
Yes.
He's the good one. He's the good boy. Pious one. Little Miss Muffet is the one who's been suffering under the school system. Georgie Porgy is the one who's been suffering under the counselor system. And Jack and Jill is the one who's been suffering under the parental system. All of these are related to the school in one way or another. And they are to be then, you know, satirized in any different number of ways. And all to be very different, and they have major speeches as they report to the Council of Heaven, Council of the Skies, and Old King Cole. And they all pass the buck and say, really, well, it, you know, something else was wrong. It was something else and something else. And eventually, you know, sort of ends up, who is to blame? And maybe it's the lamb, even, that gets the shaft. At least the lamb dies. At least that's the way we have it right now. Now, maybe we just sort of clear up, you know, the plot. That's the setting, you know. And inside this setting, which can be seen, so once you move into the realm of the heaven or the skies, you know, you're in imagination and you're in vision and you're in all those things and you can play with it and you don't have to be realistic necessarily and you can have fun with it. At the same time, you can poke holes in all those things which the kids in their wrath and stuff say are wrong with the school system and let them have their say and let them do their thing and make it available for teenagers to present to their schools. That will be good for the school system to hear, hopefully. What some reactions to the plot, the plan, from young and old alike. Nothing?
Huh. I think it's important to just have a little feeling, maybe some comment from any of us on the meaning of satire. I guess for me personally, satire is a very healthy thing. I don't take it so seriously that I believe that the satirist is telling the absolute truth. I feel that the satirist really is kind of prodding me, and he's exaggerating enormously, and I know that. I mean, I don't expect to read that the way I would read the front page of the newspaper. And that's why, in our own Twin Cities, I like to go to the Brave New Workshop at least twice for everything that comes on, because it's really the best chance that I have to think through the whole matter of sexuality, the political, the beauty contest, the Sons of Miss America's one of the dandies on that one, and all of these things. And I suppose maybe even some of you, I don't know how you feel about that kind of satire. And I would just hope that tonight you could, even if you're, you know, you're principal of a school, or if you're a parent, as I am, that you could, you know, almost laugh at yourself and not be free enough that we can be free and present and hear back, so that we can create something rather beautiful and meaningful and alive, instead of having to defend anything tonight, because we really don't intend to defend this thing. This is what youth here at Holden told us they cared about, and everything else was zero. I mean, that group, everything else didn't even register on the needle.
On the volume scale.
Not a bit. But once this was opened by them, we couldn't contain it.
Maybe, you know, we read a few things. I'll start to feel it.
Fine, why don't you...
Let's sort of pick some people. How many of you know, you all know King Cole, don't you? Huh? Do you want to sing Old King Cole with me? Of Old King Cole's speech to start off with, his opening oration. As I say, this sets the stage. We'll do... how does it go now? Old King Cole was a merry old soul. How does it go?
Old King Cole was a merry old soul.
So was he. He called for his pipe, and he called for his bow, and he called for his fiddle and his string. Is that right?
He called for his pipe, and he called for his bow, and he called for his
string. I think it depends on which tune you
like. Yeah. All right. Well, you know that one, right?
That far, I'm not sure I'd go on from there.
Yeah, well, we have no verses from there, so that's all right. Who's going to sing with me? King Old King Cole. You going to sing Old King Cole with me? Okay, all right.
It's two baritones.
All right, so this is sort of now, first of all, somebody gets up and says, Mary had a little lamb. You want to do that? Just sing, just say it. Just so that we set the stage. She's sitting there alone.
Mary had a little lamb.
And no, the whole poem.
I don't remember all of it.
Just quietly.
And every river that Mary learned the land should have gone. Followed to the school one day, which was against the rule, and made the children laugh and play to see a lamb at school.
Old King Cole was a merry old soul, and a merry old soul was he. He calls for his pipe, and he calls for his bowl, and he calls for his fiddle and tea. The time has come, the watchers say, and what they say I. That I be merry old King Cole, for I know how to fly. I know how to celebrate, to legislate, communicate, but never once capitulate when things have gone awry. Old King Cole does his merry own thing, and his merry own thing does he. He calls for his pie, and his blackbirds to sing, and he calls for his fiddlers three. The time has come, the watchers say, and what they say I, that after thinking on the blinking of the twinkles of the calendar of the sky, we must celebrate a festival, a world day of peace, a holiday of harmony, and merry cherry pie. Old King Cole has his very own show, and his very own show has he. He calls for some peace on the earth down below, and he calls for his fiddlers three. The time has come, the watchers say, and what they say I. They are wise and wondering ones, creeping low and hovering high with cockroach eye, to pry inside little girls' lockers and little boys' rooms, dirty little notes that are passed through the class, and every little thought that high school children ought never ever hear. Old King Cole has a very wise court, and a very wise court has he. They watch all the earth for a sniff or a snort, and they watch by their fiddlers three.
Sorry, dear.
The time has come, the watchers say, and what they say I, for us to check and double check that law and order, peace and love, everywhere prevail as in the skies above, before we celebrate on high with the bright blue blackbird pie, that mighty dainty dish of peace for all who reach the sky. Old King Cole has a very short time, and a very short time has he. The feast must begin when the clock strikes nine, when he calls for his fiddlers three. Let the fiddlers three step before my velvet throne of eternal peace and harmony. Big Boy Blue, Humpty Dumpty, and Grandfather Time, speak forth in echoes bright and true. And then come the three. That sort of sets the stage. Now that can be changed or modified. How does that, does it clear? Does the scene come through, who the watchers are? Does more need to be said?
I imagine their costumes will portray.
They are, the costumes, the watchers with great big eyes. You know, all those things overdone, yeah. They are all those people that keep watching young people. Whether they're pastors or teachers or anybody, you know, they're the watchers. What else can you call them? You know, angels? Not quite good enough, is it? Watchers. And they peek, you see, into little boys' rooms and notes that go through to class. And, see, they're the watchers. And they're always there. There's always somebody. Just around the corner. At least I used to think so. I was a little boy. I'd have to go to the outhouse way at the end of the orchard. And I would run so fast and then close the door. Because I was sure there was somebody watching. And I don't know why, you know. He was always big and blue, too. We used to call him Bunyip. When we were little boys in Australia. Bunyips. Big blue bunyips. And then we'd run back to the house again. I know what they call them, boogeymen here, do they?
In Scotland, they're the little people.
Little people? Maybe we'll have little watchers. Little people watchers. With great big eyes. Like caterpillars, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, caterpillars in the skies.
Slinky.
Just let them go. Yeah, big slinkies. Slinky watches.
They could play with slinkies.
Yeah, they could have... Yeah, that's pretty. Yeah. Huh? See, that's what... Man, let these things go in your mind till you finally get the characters clear. Slinky people. Slinky watches. Slinky
wingy watches. Slinky, slanky, slunky. A lot of beautiful words.
Yeah. Like with great big eyes. And red dots right in the middle. Yeah.
They give him a list before he goes out.
Yeah. Yeah. No, leave that out. Okay. Yeah, leave that out. Okay. So you just let yourself mind go now, you see, and you start to picture these. Now, we haven't finished the story yet, you see. You're in on it. Any thoughts you have on how would you portray the watchers? Is it good to have them with slinkies?
I visualize them as American Gothic types. After the
very upright?
Grant Wood.
Huh?
After the manner of Grant Wood, American Gothic types.
Oh, binoculars. Hey, that's beautiful, dear.
Yeah.
Now we're coming. Binoculars with eyes on the end.
Yeah.
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 Binoculars with the eyes on the end. All right.
You're wearing half a dozen watches.
That's watches all up their eyes. Oh, yeah.
We could call, you know, use the song, Bird Watchers and Ye Holy Ones.
Yeah, I had thought about starting with that song, you know, Ye Watchers and Paternal Ones. Ye Watchers and Paternal Ones.
Maybe good to have a hymn to it.
Yeah, well, you should start with a hymn. That's always good. Yeah. Now, that's the idea. We like to get you to take the ideas that we start with or someone, and then just float with them, run with them. Let your imagination tickle you know, with colors and sounds and images.
They should have very large ears, too.
Very large ears. Or maybe real big eyes and very small ears. Because they never really hear what's happening. They just see, never really listen.
Oh, yeah.
What was it? Yeah. Great big ear horn. Herb, are you riding?
Yes.
Good man.
What a decorated person.
Yes, yes. One arm with watches all up, and the other arm in the shape of a great big ear horn. And binoculars.
Who's going to hold the binoculars?
I don't know. We may have to have servants.
Servants of the watchers.
The watchers for the watchers, yes. The witches for the watchers.
The witch watchers. The watch witchers. It'd be the watch witchers. We'll save that for later.
All right. And then the three figures are Humpty Dumpty, old Grandfather Time, and Big Boy Blue. And Big Boy Blue sort of says, we've got to keep everything in line, in order, discipline. Things have to be proper. Law and order, harmony, control. That's what he sort of says. Humpty Dumpty is sort of like the great big egg of love. The way you'll do it, in Eden 2, everything is love. Love was the way to solve that. We'll read that one later. And Grandfather Time sort of says, wisdom. Wisdom is the solution, and wisdom is the way that we're going to run it. And these three represent, you know, three traditional ways of running life. From above, from up there, from the skies. And don't try and identify anybody with God or theological figures. Any connections are purely incidental. And the association is made by you, but not deliberately. Maybe we'll read the report of the three fiddlers and see whether this is clean, clear. Let's take a couple of fiddlers. Who wants to read a fiddler? Huh? Who wants to read a fiddler?
Do they have to do that well, or can they just fiddle around?
Well, no, it doesn't matter how bad. who wants to fiddle with me? I'm two fiddlers. Right? Come on, come here. It's right here. It's on my sheet. Come over beside me and read.
Norm.
Yeah.
I'd be interested in knowing what symbolism was running through the minds of the persons who identify these particular Mother Goose characters with fiddler roles.
No direct connection. But maybe you'll see some link between Humpty Dumpty and fiddling when you see how we tie it together.
Very good.
Okay. Now, granted, we wanted three figures who were sort of represented a strata above. You know, not children figures. So Big Boy Blue instead of Little Boy Blue. Humpty Dumpty, who's up on the wall, and Grandfather Time, whose grandfather clock stops at the end of the story. See, so we have figures who are a little bit on the age level above, or somehow represents above the little children, like Little Miss Muffet and Little Jack Horner. Okay, who's the other one? You going to read?
Yeah.
All right.
Ginny. Or is it just
Ginny. All right, come on, Ginny. You start, Ginny, and you're B, and you're H, and I'm T. That's Boy Blue. Now, you better take Boy Blue, since you're a big boy. And you take Humpty Dumpty, since you're a lady of love. And I'll take Grandfather Time, all right?
Your Majesty.
Your Merry Majesty.
Your Very Merry Majesty.
This is the report
that Your Majesty saw.
On the state of affairs below.
Everything is tranquil.
Everything is transparent.
Everything is dull.
Except.
Keep going. Yeah, it was two accepts, I'm sure.
That Simon.
Simple Simon.
Metapyman.
Going to the fair.
Your fair.
The World Day of Peace.
But he had a pie.
A pie for the sky.
With 24 blackbirds baked inside.
Then said Simon,
to that pious pieman,
may I taste your wares?
Said the pieman,
to Simple Simon,
have you heard the latest?
Said Simple Simon,
to that pious pieman,
no.
Said the pieman,
to Simple Simon,
the rumor runs like this.
It seems that Mary,
from a good home,
where the buffalo roam,
has a little lamb,
one of God's little things,
with fleece as white as snow.
And everywhere that Mary went,
the lamb was sure to go.
Almost everywhere, that is.
It followed her to school one day.
To Snow White High, no less.
Oh, ho, and that's against the rule.
The school rule.
The golden rule.
Any old rule.
Said Sybil Simon.
To the pieman.
Well, I'll be.
Then said the pieman.
To Sybil Simon.
This is a serious matter.
And we.
The fiddlers three.
We all agree unanimously that this is a serious matter. We all say that together.
Oh. That this is a serious matter. For if it is true.
We have lambs in school.
What will it lead to next?
Give them an inch.
And they'll take a mile.
Give them a lamb.
And they'll want a horse.
Give them a horse.
And they'll want circus.
And that's the eternal theory of dominoes. Dominoes, dominoes, one by one. Give them a lamb and a sheep will come. Give them a moon and they'll take the sun. Give them a chance and they'll take your gun.
And what? And we...
The fiddlers three.
We all agree unanimously that this is a serious matter
which must be investigated
immediately,
if not sooner.
And so we suggest
the course that's best
to rectify the matter.
Let's send the mouse
to the crooked schoolhouse
and check on Mary's movements.
And when the clock strikes one,
the mouse can run
and join the crooked mouse. And the old crooked man.
Oh, the old crooked...
Man.
Cat.
No, man, the other one.
Oh.
Cut that one out.
Oh, and the old crooked man...
In the little crooked house...
Called Snow White High.
And we...
The fiddlers three.
We all agree unanimously...
That this is the best thing to do. Amen, 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 amen.
All right. And then old King Cole says, so be it, and sends off the mask. Now, those things will sort of go... Each one of those figures will be comedy. Each one will be funny and different. You know, one will be smiling and the other one will be serious. And old Grandfather Time will sort of shake it. And very dull. And so on. As they report it back. Now, is that clear? Does it come through? Or should that be added? Now, what would you do to make that more colorful than it is now? So that it really jumps at people. It's meant to be, you know, short and sharp. Three people, you know, like three toy soldiers almost going bip, bip, bip. Now, the speeches won't continue like this. They'll all be very different, but this is one style. So we have lots of variation.
Well, egg, you know, Humpty Dumpty always seems sort of ridiculous, but how could he be a sort of a wise egg, you know? Because when you speak that part as an egg, you have to sound like, you know, you've got authority.
Mm-hmm.
What can you just be doing? A good egg?
Yeah. Well, he's a...
Nice.
He's a love egg, the way we've portrayed him.
But an egg is so, sort of, you know, ridiculous. I don't see an egg as being very authoritative.
So maybe that's the comedy. Maybe if Humpty has a very
peevish
voice.
Oh, yeah, squeaky voice. Like a chicken coming out.
I didn't feel like an egg. You know, the whole incongruity is
maybe. Yeah, I think that these characters have to be delineated in here. You know, when we've written the story about each one of the speeches of each one of these three men, then these individual lines will have to come cleaner. That's probably a very good point.
That old Claire group bring up the matter of this controversy about sex education.
Yes.
Yeah, they sure did. Yes. We didn't get very far with it, but they did bring it up.
Sorry, I mentioned
that. Yeah, that should come in. Yes. You know, Georgie Porgy is the one who goes because he's been kissing a girl, you know, and he's been taking the sex education seriously, I guess. And he has a hang up then, or at least they say he has a hang up. maybe he's the only one who's free. I don't know.
One image is running through my mind all the time while we're talking about fiddlers. I keep thinking about the cats and the fiddle, the cow don't go to the moon.
Yeah.
And, you know, a real cat with a fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got the character there.
Maybe
so.
He could accompany the three in there. Yeah,
or maybe Big Boy Blue. Right. Blue ought to be. Yeah, maybe good. Big Boy Blue ought to be the cat with a fiddle. You know, the cat man. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I, my vision was of him as being something of the police, the boys in blue, you know, the men in blue. But he's talking about a cool cat with a fiddle.
Well, could you make him look like a cool cat?
Huh?
Cat with a fiddle is part of the jazz
piece. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I could see that cat and the fiddle coming through with the chorus and the amen, and very often sort of being the combo group of the watchers.
Hey, that's a good idea. Our combos could be, our musical group could be the cats, the cat with the fiddles.
And the dish could be the, if you, you know. So we've got a kind of a musical start there. A gong.
And a spoon.
And a spoon, yeah, we've got.
And who's the cow?
Yeah, but them watchers are supposed to be the sort of great stone face type.
I can see that.
The cow going around the moon with a space in a space helmet.
I could see the cow being the kind of the one that jumps, the jester, the
director.
The director of the fiddlers, and see that thing all stays together.
Ooh.
Yeah, we'll have to go back and look again at what each of the
fiddlers he sees the watchers as being granite figures, you know?
The
stone face figures.
Yeah.
Background music might be the Bog of Old Something very heavy.
Yeah, well, see the leader. That leader's of the watches, that's right. Herb, why don't you give us your little thing about the mouse now, so we can react. The speeches of the mouse now.
Well,
all of these things will be put on stage, you know, with lots of music and background and all that sort of stuff.
I just wrote this just to play, and I need to go back and write it and take the parts that I have assigned to the watchers, for instance, and give them to certain watchers or to give them to one or several of the fiddlers. I haven't done any of that. I simply have called it watchers and mouse, and these paragraphs back and forth. And I have a carving. Maybe you want to take. Well, we haven't even looked at this together.
Okay.
And when I did it, I really wasn't too particular about whether son of Jackie Horner and Mary Quite Contrary were friends or not. I kind of played with all the nursery rhymes because Mousie has been down and has looked around. And the watchers say, you want to be the watchers? Now, the watchers that I have characterized here at this time that the mouse comes back are very suspect, and maybe too suspect. And right now, they primarily are concerned about some of the sexuality going on in Snow White High. And maybe I've got too much of it, and maybe it's too suspecting.
Hickory dickory dock, the mouse ran up the clock. A clock struck two and up he flew, hickory dickory dock.
Mousie says, I've been sitting in a corner watching Son of Jackie Horner and of Mary Quite Contrary, whom I associate at this juncture still as little Mary who had a little lamb. In the extraordinary situation, expectation, reservation, conversation, etc. of the school founded for the Golden Rule.
He now has the information of the situation of Snow White High, and Mousie will not tell a lie.
Now that other guy, the older one, the other one you said that comes in a little bit subtly says, well, if a lie.
A little
lie. Yeah. It was Monday. Now Mousie goes through every day of the week, and this is Monday. It was Monday at 8, and the school bus was late. Once more, as before, in the yellow drugstore, I sat in the corner and saw Son of Jack Horner, and Miss Mary was beside him, also waiting for a ride.
While waiting for the bus, did they turn up any fuss?
They were standing on the grass, minding their own busyness. I would want to work on that one. When the blue... I thought I'd try rhyming all the way through, come what may. When the bluebirds came to peck, and giving them heck, shouting, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop the standing on the grass, they said to the lad and to the lass. So they leaned against the wall,
But soon I heard the call and the pecking on the head of Jack, and Jack Horner's head turned red, red, red as they heard the bluebird after bluebird after bluebird shrieking, "Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop leaning on the wall or it will surely make it fall." Let me just stop and say that these were exactly some things that the youth said, that yeah. when they wait for buses, then the policemen say, "Get off the grass." So they walk, go against the wall, lean against the building, the policeman said, "You know, don't break the window." And they described once how difficult it is just to behave and get on a school bus.
They are standing on the grass, they are leaning on the glass. Or was there more that she did do on the day, on the way that day onto school?
On that, yeah, that day to school. Now, actually, I don't try to resolve any of these. I didn't know if I was supposed to. I thought here I was just supposed to awaken the idea that mouse was down on in their land and was rousing some curiosity. And that's all there is to Monday. Now comes Tuesday. Mousy says, "Mary's lamb was white. Tuesday, Mary's lamb was not in sight."
Oh, no.
"Now will you tell my old King Cole how I did climb up on a pole, and from up there a peekin' watched Mary hidin' seekin' something white?" I'm picking up some of the imagery of the land now. "Within her purse?"
Could be camels, could be worse. Could be notes for wicked boys. Could be naughty, naughty toys. Could be pot, or maybe pill. Mary, Mary makes me ill. Yes, could be pot. They'd better not. Mousy, Mousy, was it pot or was it worse?
It was a hanky in her purse. A white hanky in her purse.
A white hanky. What was in it?
That's enough. Yeah, I just thought I'd cut that next line. You know, a white hanky, and still they don't let him alone. What was in it? They're very suspect. So that's the end of that day. And then the watchers go on. Bottom of the page, you Dickie.
Oh, Dickie, dear Mouse. From the white schoolhouse on top of the hill, traffic for vice and traffic for pill. Did they use the hickory stick? Did they give her a test and give her a lick?
One Wednesday after school, and it was against the school board rule, I saw Mary with her lamb and two others, and how they ran. Strange.
Strange, strange.
See, they always interrupt the mouse. He never really gets to say the thing, which isn't really so bad at all, and right away they're evil, kind of this granite effect. You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, were you in range to see where she and the lamb might be?
I saw Jack and Jill climbing up that same hill, holding something there between them. Then they fell down in the green.
And Mary between? Remorse, remorse, oh evil scene. Jack and Jill and the lamb between. And Mary between?
Yeah, they're not sure who was, and this is the whole hang-up here. And the watchers say, "No supervision, oh collision, oh derision." Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah. And just, I don't know what these words mean, you know. Oh collision, oh derision, oh, no supervision. And it kind of can be a song. And Mousy says, Mary's mother was quite contrary. On Tuesday she was weak and weary and stayed in bed till 8. So Mary then came late. She walked in late. She is a pretty girl with dimpled chin and curly curl. All the boys, they started talking when they saw Mary walking. They laughed to see her lamb.
Shame.
The slightest idea what that is.
Shame. Very shocking to see not her stocking, and her legs are very bare. And Mary didn't even care. On a skin so very bare, could be seen each tiny hair.
I just think this old, you know, this solid man leaning over here, already he's examining this person so suspiciously, and all she did was walk in school late, and the boys looked at her.
Oh, the wiggle and the romping. Surely it was something that she should bring her lamb and turn the heads and hearts of all of them.
And then Mouse says, all the children there did laugh and shout, and the teacher threw dear Mary out. She said that Mary was a fool for bringing lamb to school.
No wonder. The shame on Snow White. Snow White School's name. The students
maybe
all
holy name or something like that.
Yeah. Students all looking and cooking and a bleating and a cheating and a dancing and a prancing and a shaking and a walking and enticing and a talking. Such living is against the rule at historic Snow White School.
That comes Friday. On Friday, I heard Mary being angry and contrary as Jack B. Quick and Jackie Nimble, asking not to wear the thimble in the class for sewing. Mary said she had a blister helping find her baby sister. She said it hurt to wear the thimble. She winked and looked at Jackie Nimble.
Shame on Mary and on Jackie Nimble. Shame she would use a, should not use the thimble. For if on that day Mary wanted an A to go on to college and improve her college in the stitching and sewing and all that's in knowing how to put up dresses and to stitch and make presses, if in future life to make someone good, a faithful wife, alas, for her sewing, her thimble and knowing and all the good knowledge that will keep her from college.
Well, that's,
that will keep her from college.
Yeah, that will keep her.
That will keep her from college. Yeah. Yeah. So there's a start, you see, how Herb's mind works as he creates something for the mass.
Way back there, you had this handkerchief in the purse. There's one sentence that includes the word handkerchief.
Yeah. It's a hanky, you know. It was a hanky in her purse. A white hanky in her purse.
And then the next line.
A white hanky, what was in it, and then that, you know, and then I thought another one could just say.
What was in it? Is it product? No, it's not.
I didn't want to resolve it, so I added a next line and said, you know, one of the watchers says, a white hanky, what was in it, and the other one said, now that's the limit.
Oh, okay.
I wish you hadn't deleted that line. I like it.
Oh, okay. But
is there
the reference.
Fanky in there?
What?
Is there any fanky fanky in there?
Yeah, you can pick that up.
Very good. Yeah, I got to get that. Got the hanky panky. Yeah. Okay.
There's panky in the hanky.
I see some of these things as, you know, being picked up by the fiddlers and sung kind of to accent and to reinforce. I don't really know yet. I would imagine that Mousy comes up several times. Doesn't Mousy come up again?
Yeah, he can bring someone else in and
yes.
Make some more reports.
Right, he can bring more reports. And
how
some
would,
of these reports
might
be
how would we portray Mousy?
Yeah, that's good.
How would we portray Mousy? Maybe
we should talk
need
about
a, something where Mousy gives a chance to sort of say what he is at the beginning of the story. Mm-hmm. He just comes without being identified, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Sort of a ferret-like character.
Said church mouse, I'm as poor as.
Church mouse.
Well, he never gets a chance to really finish what he's saying, so he is the traditional mouse.
Sure, and nosy character.
Okay, that's good.
No, but he's good in contrast
that's
to
right.
the others. He's got to be.
He's nosy and big
long
ears.
Long nose.
He's
but
good,
he's
but he can't. He can't get his point across.
Can't report. Yeah.
That he's trying to get across.
That's good.
Big, fat, and thin.
Yes.
A long toilet roll that he gets. Keeps rolling
yes.
behind him all the way across the stage, back and forth, back and forth. Yeah, he keeps reading his thing.
Back and forth
yes.
across the stage.
And the watches keep going like this.
Yes.
Dress him like what?
Dress him in limburger cheese.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
An aromatic term.
Oh, Mousy's coming. Yes, right.
Every time he wants to go on, my watch steps on his tail.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Somebody's standing on his tail all the time or his toilet roll or something.
Yeah.
Hey, that's good.
Yeah, that's really good.
I couldn't hear you, Linda. You were saying something.
What is the mouse's purpose?
He's the one who ferrets out all of the information, and he keeps reporting everything that's happening, and then the watchers put false connotations on everything.
Oh, I see.
He was sent down to Eden 2 to check to see that everything was all in order. in Snow White High and find out whether it was true that Mary actually brought a lamb to school. So he's the what's his name man? The investigator man. What do you call it? In
FBI.
The FBI man.
Right? Private eye.
Private investigator, that's right. Who's checking out for the watches.
Yeah, you keep referring to Eden too, but there's no place in the script that you've introduced this down here.
Not yet.
No, we want to rewrite.
We will.
We'd written the story at the beginning before we discovered the name Eden too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that has to be reworked in.
Now, your Humpty Dumpty is a very good one on Eden 2 and the spirit of love in Eden 2, and that would be a good one to hear.
Now, Humpty Dumpty comes in at one point, and probably he gets pushed over the wall, off the wall by Jack and Jill or somebody or other at the end, which is important. And Humpty Dumpty, maybe we'll make him squeaky.
Could he be an egghead?
Well, he's an egg anyway, the way he is here. He's clearly an egg. But Humpty Dumpty, and this has to be added, you know, to fit in better. But, you know, one of the things is that system philosophies today is if you have love, lots of love, that will solve all the problems. And in the new age, everyone will love automatically. And so here he's, this is the ode of Humpty Dumpty about love. Love, 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 love is the greatest. Hi there, folks. My name's Humpty Dumpty. My friends call me Dump, for short. Because they have discovered the one truth that however deep you may dig into the fluttering recesses of my soul, you will always find one more glowing gem of love. I am all heart. I am all love. I am the original love egg, with red daisies and blue dandelions painted across my friendly green face. I am the great primeval Easter egg, full of jelly beans and love beans. I have been sitting and loving and sitting on this wall since the day of Eden 1, when Mary first took an apple from the teacher before she was ripe. Does it seem strange to you, all you who pass by, that I should sit upon this wall for so long? Does it? Well, never fear. I like my wall, my watching wall. I've become attached to my wall. I have pretty purple periwinkles climbing all over my wall and clinging to my bottom to keep me secure and sensitive. Oh, how beautiful it is to peer forth from this purple pinnacle and watch the new world of Eden too, where people love the love they do. As I sit here among the watches, absorbing the sounds of loving below, I sometimes feel like bursting. Can you guess what I do up here? Can you, my beloved? That's right, I love. I fiddle and I love. I love and I fiddle. Sometimes I fiddle with love. And sometimes I love with the fiddle. And sometimes I do both together. Do you know what that is called, Dave? It's called fiddle loving. Do you feel the feeling in that word? Fiddle loving, Dave? Let's all say it together with feeling. Come on. Fiddle loving. Fiddle loving. It's beautiful, isn't it? You see, for thousands of years, I've been floating my fiddle loving melodies deep into the sagging souls of young people, into the softest hairs at the edge of the earlobe, into the nodules on the nape of the navel, to tingle with curiosity. Oh yes, love is the answer to everything. Love is the greatest, and fiddle loving is the ultimate in love. Would you like to live in Eden too? Would you? Then come and fiddle love with me. Oh, come away. Would you like to live in Eden too, where everyone is free and young and youthful? Fiddle love is the way. Would you like to lose that excess weight, those pimples, those hang-ups, those unsightly corns, and be beautiful? Fiddle love is the answer. Are you frustrated, lonely, distraught, broken-hearted? Fiddle love will find a way. Are you nauseous, anxious, apathetic, diabetic, or over-energetic? Then fiddle love a while each day. Fiddle love gives you confidence.
wise young people, and let the crawling colors spin across the back of your eyelids, please. Let them swirl away like a chip on the whispering waves. And let them lift you through orange clouds to lime-covered mountains and gentle pink meadows far beyond the periwinkle pinnacle, where Eden too bubbles with beauty. Reach out your arms. Love. Love. Dream. Float. Massage your eyes. Run your fingertips across your eyelids. And you are there. Are you? Have you made contact with the soft refrains of fiddle-loving chords from the new world? Has the love spirit lifted you up? Are you quivering with love beams? Love, 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 love is the greatest. And the fiddle-loving is the greatest of all.
Push you up.
That's great. I saw the egg as kind of a tiny tin.
Yeah. Hey, that's in a way that's what it's saying, you know, yeah. Which a lot of people are emulating.
But see, when we read those things before as three, those sounded to me very rigid. Now, how would it sound if you read those same lines in that voice that you read? Just now.
The first
very,
line.
Very, very first line.
Yeah, now let's see, what happened is that we wrote, you know, these characters only grow as we build them up. Yeah.
Sure.
You know, this is a community.
But now, with those lines,
yeah,
how empty you fit that first part in that
yeah.
kind of a...
They have to be rewritten to fit it better. You're right.
Yeah.
See, this was written later when we finally characterized these better. But we wanted to say, you know, set the stage with the three fiddlers. Now we'll go back when we've written the speeches and the characters.
All kind of lovey little
and his
sentences.
Can be more love sentences. That's right. Very good.
Could you make it World Day of Love instead of World Day of Peace?
Yeah, it could be. Could be.
Yeah.
The thing is, you know, everything is supposed to be in order. Love could be. Could be. And now, Herb, you did one on...
I did one on this, on Jackie Nimble. And I'm not sure. I characterize Jackie Nimble here as a very athletic person who's getting scholarships for being athletic. She wins all kinds of things from universities. And she's got her father on her one side and her coach on the other. And yeah, and she, I don't know whether she will be doing this or whether she could be.
Is this a girl?
Jackie Nimble, yes. We needed more girls. So we still called her Jackie Nimble. And it could be that cheerleaders could do this, see? At least
that's
they could
true.
Do parts of it. And
Hong
they could
Kong
set, and yeah, right. Because I do, it would be kind of funny because I do things like, you know, one, two, three, go. That's the way one of the stanzas start. Another one says, you know, 1 mile to go and 1 mile down. That's the second. The first one is 22, 56, 88 hike. And I've got her kind of like a kind of football type. And if they had a ladies football team, she'd be on it. And then the last one is huffity puffity blow the house down. She can, I can puff up a hill and puff a hill down. So this is Jackie Nimble, who jumps over the candlestick, which is a very athletic thing. And I look at this candlestick and the light as the fact that she runs day and night. In fact, she runs more hours than there are in a day at times here. And I just play here. This is really the first time. I'm enjoying this enormously. I don't care if really these things get used because
we
it's just
not
so
put
fun.
It on, but we had fun.
Yeah. And again, I don't, I just, you know, don't know how to read it, but I'll read it the way I can. I can sure visualize this thing. And 22, 56, 88 hike, dry the glue and fly the kite, 16, 14, 18 hike. I love my jogging and I love my bike. I do chin bars by fives and ten, pulling up and over and under again, do everything right from morning to night with a coach on my left and my dad on my right. Counting 40 and 20 and 10 and hike, I sprint and I sprat and it's just what I like. So that's the first stanza. And then the next one, one, two, three, go. I hit things high and I hit things low. And so, you know, she might even put her shoulder into a
a dummy or whatever they're called in football. I can stand on one foot and touch my big toe. My walls are decorated, my grades exonerated, my biceps dedicated, and my records consecrated. I'm quick and I'm nimble, as fit as a thimble. Contestants, they tremble, the bleachers, they rumble. My teachers will ramble, and scholarships jingle, and colleges jangle at the name of Jackie Nimble. And then the next one is, 1 mile to go, 1 mile down, race you to the center of Eden Town. 6, 5, 4, 2, race with my coach to Eden 2. I jog 2 miles by night and 14 more by light. 13 miles at noon and 40 by full moon. I've kicked my pink skirt for a gray sweatshirt. It was a cat and a fiddle. I want on her sweatshirt, I want a cat and a fiddle at least, and it glows in the middle and gleams on the side, filling daddy with pride. Left, right, left, right, I run when the sunset turns to the night. Right, left, right, left, my ankles are strong and my arches are deaf. I jog on the log and I jog in the fog. I jog quite as high as a fiddler's dog. Another 2 weeks and another full moon, and I shall retire from running at noon. Then surely my coach will retire me soon. And it's the awful dilemma of a girl who's barely through high school and already she's retiring. Which to me is the death of Mary's lamb, perhaps, that she isn't even allowed to be a youth or a girl. She's retiring soon. And now the next one they've called is a begins, huffity puffity, blow the house down. I can huff up a hill and huff a hill down. I can bike where it's steep and climb any high peak. I can race Mary's sheep. I can chase mountain sheep. I kick my heels, I do cartwheels and prince and prance and dins and dans, dunnily, sunnily, lightly, sprightly, as the whole flock of sheep of little Bo Peep. I was just playing to see if I can get some of the sheep figure in here. And then finally, to make proud mothers weep, I leap like the sheep. To make all fathers clap, I hold in my lap a gold-plated thimble reading hip, hip, hooray, hip, hooray for Jack Nimble. And so that she ends with this trophy in her lap, which is the gold-plated thimble. I don't know if I can do that because I used the thimble figure before and I'm using it again and it'll probably have to be canceled out one time. So that's the way I have this athletic girl, Jackie Nimble. It's very hard. You know, it's one thing. I think there are three categories to do. First of all, I try to capture the kind of person Jackie or Jack Nimble would be. Then the second thing is, what connection, you know, in the school? And the third one is, somehow, some kind of a connection with Lamb, the Lamb of Mary, because that's what the crux of the whole thing is about, which is still kind of a tough combination. And so.
And the lamb is not, you know, necessarily just physical lamb. The thing is to be left somewhat open.
Yes.
Accepting the problem that if we do bring up a dead lamb back at the end, it would, may very well be, you know, we may not be able to do it visibly.
This isn't in the long run religious, is it? Because like we killed...
No, we don't want to have people say, you know, there goes brokering again, always has to have Christ. Overt, explicitly in there.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, you know. But it's sort of interesting that if you do have it this way, that somehow it's always the party, Mary is the one who suffers. They're all fighting about themselves, and she sits there alone, and she goes off, and she loses her sheep. And the one about whom the fight is never really gets asked. Mm-hmm. And it's that person who suffers. And she really plays the important part by being silent. And it's important, yes.
Oh, that's beautiful. In a casket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Never
I was
see
wondering
it.
If you could just come in carrying a shroud.
Or covered with a shroud.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something there, but you don't know what it is. It's never seen.
It's disappeared.
But it's black. It's got a black covering, so you can say Bob, our black sheep, very effectively.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
Could it be just home, Bob, our black sheep? Or
could be, too. They could come in and carry it across the stage and walk right past the watchers and just go off at the end.
Like almost a dirge. It is a tune that's familiar enough. You wouldn't have
You wouldn't have to sing it. Everyone would know.
In a minor key.
Yeah, right.
Very good, Jen. That's excellent.
Yeah, that's good.
Is this, maybe not mine, that's right. Is this a kind of a sacrifice, kind of a...
Well, it's the inevitable result of nobody paying attention to the real person and the real figure.
I think it's a sacrifice that the youth make.
Mm-hmm.
That is the sacrifice, the death. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, I agree with you, we shouldn't be explicit. But as far as, in my interpretation, the death that takes place in a chemistry lab or anywhere is the, certainly to me, has to do with the death of Christ. If it's on the athletic field or wherever. Yeah.
Wherever a person is destroyed.
Wherever. That's what he's all about. Therefore, in my mind, it is a very religious play. That's what I bring to it. That's
but we're not saying,
No.
The Lamb is the Lamb of Revelation, or the Lamb of God as such. The Lamb is the whatever Lamb association you make with
school. It was the only nursery rhyme we could find that had a school.
That's where the connection
that's
was.
That's why we went there. Otherwise,
and against the rule, of course, we set the stage, you see. And it's so simple.
Else, but I really felt confusion of Jackie Nimble being a girl. I think that the simplicity of a satire really, it's too confusing
shouldn't change
to be a girl because then you get hung up on it. I do.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me the thing that the overpowering force of athletics in some high schools is, I don't know, that to me would add more humor than being a girl because that's almost the male.
Yes, it would be very easy to change.
The reason we did that was we suddenly looked at the list and we had eight characters and they were all Jack Horner, and so we had to start changing.
I see from the practical point of view, but I
do
think
you think though that if the person that's on stage,
point,
you have to think about this on stage, is a girl, they would make the transition more easily.
But
because I know. When you talk about retiring, they found out that girl swimmers are at their peak at 13 and 14 and through at 16. And they're just driving these kids.
But somehow, athletics is more associated with the jock, the big man on campus, kind of a thing that could be more of a parody than the girl, you know.
Jackie Nimble could be a great big football player, you're saying?
Yeah.
He'd be a heavy guy.
And I think the male is more emulated in the athletic role, where the female is
not.
Some people
look
at her and
she
say,
has,
you well,
I,
she's
I like
a
that.
Jock,
yes.
You know.
If she were the cheerleader, you know,
well,
she'd
I think,
be a better cheerleader.
Well, you know, you can call a great big guy, but you call him Jackie.
Jackie Nimble.
But he is Jack Nimble, but his nickname is Jackie, and it just goes through he wherever it says she. I think
you know, Humpty Dumpty could be
it's
a woman.
It's easy to laugh at when it's simple, right?
Well, yeah. He was saying, you know, what is his name? Tiny Tim.
You don't associate the Charles Atlas type with being nimble.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
twinkle toes in a football outfit.
Twinkle toes in the football.
Yeah, right. It's like some of these big centers on the professional football team, these great guys, and they have these tiny
Tim
names.
Yeah, football.
Jackie.
Basketball. You have a character, a little red riding hood, he could be 11 to cook for.
That's
another good one. All right, its time is really up just about. It's 20 to 8. Let's take one other character and tell us how you'd characterize him. We thought we were having a little trouble with the crooked man. Now, he's to be the principal who comes in. There's a little crooked man who has a crooked house. Now, it doesn't have to be crooked in the sense that he's dirty or devious, but crooked in the sense that maybe he keeps getting bent. And he tries to follow every new direction of education, you know, and he finally gets pushed until he's a little... That's what he is. This is sort of the way we thought of the crooked man in the little crooked schoolhouse, which is Snow White High.
He's putty that's been pushed around.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the school principal who tries to listen to the parents and the board and the community and the police and the children and the students. And he said, and I even listened to the children in the school. How else would you portray him? He's the first one who would be summoned, you see.
Well, he has to be old.
Has to be old. Okay.
I'd say rather in particular, we have to be weak.
They should be kind of having a kind of war with them, different sides, and he'd be agreeing with everybody.
Yeah, Lily Livid.
Lily Livid.
Popping pills for ulcers.
Keep having a pill, one after the other, another pill.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. One pill after the other. Yes, that's good. Centrin headache number. Yes. Okay, have a big box, like a big bottle like this, which says Excedrin 49 or something. That's right. Very good. And tranquilize.
Pardon?
How about putting off decisions, you know?
Procrastinating.
I waited.
I'll think about it.
Yeah, doesn't know which direction to go, the different direction.
I'll look into it.
And I looked into this, and I looked into that, and I looked into this, and I looked into that, and I'm very blind now.
Could you even have a sort of a little ramp and have him always say, I'm inclined to believe? So that you a skateboard.
Put him on a teeter board.
Yeah, teeter, that's right, yeah. Little moment.
Yeah.
I'm inclined to this point of view.
It'd be beautiful. You could write,
see, so, Marjorie Door.
That's it.
We have another one. The king shall have a new master.
Yeah.
What has it going?
Susie
shall have?
Jack. Jack shall have a new master.
Hey. Jack shall have a new master.
Sure.
See, so much. Huh? And he shall earn about a penny a day.
With a huge dish towel, he can wipe his glasses and say, well, as it looks now, this happens.
Yeah, right.
That's right. That could be kind of a threatening note that he thinks Jack, if Jack has a new master, that means his job is up. You know.
But you've got Jack be nimble, and so you got another Jack in there that's going to make a.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now you're doing this, fellow, aren't you?
Well, let's everybody do it.
Right. Well, you've got a lot of good things here. That's right. We thought. Now, anybody who wants to. Now, you gals, you know, who are here from Wisconsin, why don't you sit down and write a couple of these? You know, think about it, brainstorm with yourself, and say, and then you know, the book is going to be. If we put it all in the book, finally, it'll all be these people's names, dedicated to the following 99 people from Holden Village. Who created this ding-a-ling called Mary Had a Little Lamb.
And you get royalties for the rest of your life.
Yeah, you got a goodwill card. What?
Free tomatoes for the rest of your life.
I'd like to say a word about tomorrow night. Okay.
Yes,
tomorrow night at the same time, we're going to listen to a record. It's not a very long. It's about 22 minutes. It's called I Wonder. And it's a recording done by Bob Way several years ago, and I did the writing. I'd like very much to have you hear it. Some of you who heard some of the Christmas story read the other night, this will be a little bit different from that. I'm hoping that you can help me decide whether this might be part of the Christmas here at Holden in just a few weeks. I think it is, because this was a very meaningful thing for me. And I'm sure that I don't hear it the way you hear it for the first time. And we're going to hook the record player up so that we can hear it again in here. And so that's tomorrow after supper at 6:30 here. And we'll probably also talk a little bit about the Christmas program that we're going to have, where we have an exciting Christmas Eve in just a few weeks. And I hope that my committee chairman will be here then tomorrow evening at 6:30. I'll invite them where they can actually get the feel of this Christmas Eve. I just give you a clue. John Mockestead is, and I had quite a talk today, and we're thinking about the creche being brought in on the shoulders of marchers who bring their torches off the tailing.